Hello, fellow saints, and welcome. We're so grateful that you're here today. Thank you for your support and standing with us in advancing the kingdom of God. If you'd like to give today, we invite you to do so, but please know there is absolutely no pressure. Your presence and prayers mean so much to us. For those who choose to give, your generosity makes a real difference, and every gift, no matter the amount, is deeply appreciated. Please know that 100% of all proceeds go directly toward our nonprofit activities and outreach. For more information about our outreach programs and community, you can visit our Instagram page. Giving is simple. You click the Make a Gift link in the navigation menu or scroll down to the bottom of this page and follow the link provided. Thank you once again for your kindness and faithfulness in sowing into the kingdom. Together we are making an impact. Thank you for tuning in.
Greater love for and Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you lifting up this time of fellowship, Lord God, asking forgiveness for our sins and asking to be cleansed from all unrighteousness, Lord God. As always, Lord God, we look towards the hills from whence come our help. Our help comes from the Lord. And Lord, I ask that as I decrease, you would increase in me, Lord God, to teach your people this word, Lord God. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And all those that agree with that said amen.
Amen.
That felt so good to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we are continuing with our statement of faith. We are in number 7. I mean, we got 2 more to go. We're simply saying, we believe in the resurrection of both the saved and of the resurrection of the lost. They that are saved unto the resurrection of life, and they that are not saved are lost unto the resurrection of damnation. And so, of course, with everything we do, we prove it by scripture. But we believe in that. See, a lot of people believe to the point that everybody is supposed to be saved. Everybody, God's love and his will and his desire for his creation is that everyone is supposed to be saved. Everybody needs to be saved. He created that it is available for everyone. But the fact of the matter is this. Everybody will not be saved. Everybody will not bow their knee towards Christ. Everybody will not do, for whatever the reasons, for whatever the motive. And that's why God has criteria for salvation. And a lot in this day and age, we keep finding ourselves in a position where we keep trying to make unsaved people saved. People love the ambiance of the church. They love the gathering of the church. People in leadership love respect they get out of church. And in this day and age, it seems to be a very safe haven for people to be able to be free and take their family and everything else. But this is the problem. A lot of people don't love the God of the faith. They don't want to serve the God of the faith. They don't want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. They don't want to bow their lives to them. They want to serve God for whatever reason in the world, and that is their own personal reason, and it has to stay their personal reason because it is their own personal choice. But once you've seen enough people who have personally chosen Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, then you start to see a difference. And you'll be able to see that difference if they were Funky George in the bar and never have even heard of Jesus Christ. But when they got just a glimpse of him, you'll be able to see the difference. And you'll be able to know the difference. And you'll see things start to change from that point on in their lives. And you know at that point, that's when that brother realized Jesus Christ. And he finally gave up his life for that. Or that sister or whomever. That family member. So we have got to remember that when we see it. And we got to recognize that because we got to measure everything by that. Not just the things that people say, because people are professing Christ, they are saying Christ, they say they love the Lord, but their lifestyle does not line up to it, nor do they want their lifestyle to line up to it. If you wanted food, you'll go to the store and get some food. If you need the money to buy it, you'll get out there and make that money. You'll even get on the corner and beg if you was hungry enough, because you want the food. Well, I am just one beggar trying to show another beggar where I got the bread. And I want this bread, the bread, the living bread, the bread of life so bad that I am willing to suffer and go through whatever I have to go through with you to make sure you understand. But once I know that you understand and I see you understand and just reject it, then I have to be like Saul. Rebellion, Samuel told Saul, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And you got to understand that people, the reason why it's witchcraft, because they know how to put on the front of being saved and not saved. So you should ask yourself the motive. Don't just say the cliche. You can say that to people. But you should ask yourself the motive. Why do I really want to be saved? What is the purpose of this salvation that was given by the love of Christ towards me? And if you can honestly say that, then that will start to make you pick and go through scriptures and try to find out why it is that you believe what it is you're saying you believe. Why is that important? Because there are people, I believe in both. I believe in the saved, and I believe in the unsaved. I believe by those choices that we make, our own choices, not by God. I believe that those choices that we make to either reach towards the saved and eternal life, or reach towards the unsaved and the religion that covers us. I believe in both, that those that are not reaching for the things of Christ are going to be lost. And I also believe that those who reach for Christ are going to be saved. See, bottom line, scripture says, if you love your life, then you'll lose it. See, if you lose your life for my name's sake, then your life will be saved. But if you love your life and you hold on to it and you won't give that life up to none, for nothing else, for nobody else, that thing, then you're going to lose life. Now, in order for him to make that statement, there had to be an understanding that this is what I should be doing, but I'm choosing not to do that. I'm doing this over here. And you can blame God, you can blame the devil, you can blame whoever you want to. But don't be mad if one day you lift up your eyes in hell and you find yourself there, and that will be an eternal decision. You could curse, you could fight, you could spit, you could do whatever you want to. But at that point, it has changed for you. You will never have another opportunity to change that situation. That is an eternal dwelling for you. Because the truth of the matter is, nobody speaks about it, but we are all going to live eternally. We will live eternally in the resurrection of life, or we will live eternally in the resurrection of the damnation. And I know this conversation is a little uncomfortable for a lot of people to have, but you need to have this conversation, because we need to quit lying and playing games with people and just letting them get away with life, thinking that that is the right way of life and thinking that that's their way in life. We have to do something. Now, you don't have to confront people and beat them over here with a sledgehammer, but what you do have to do is make sure you bring the truth to them. See? That truth can be brought soft. That truth can be brought with love. That truth can be brought with everything. Or that truth can be brought, like it says in Jude, by pulling them right out of hell's fire and just snatching them out. You ain't got time for all them nights. Just snatch them out. Tell them the absolute truth. Tell them they need to get it right. Either which way, one is with compassion, the other one is without. Either which way, they need to know the truth. And never forget Ezekiel. If you do not bring the truth to them, you sit there and play this religious game with them, even though you're not religious, you love Christ and you're trying to get there, but if you play this game with them, their blood is going to be required at your hands. And I don't know what the payment is for that, because I've found no scripture that tells me what the payment is. The Bible says if you tell him his fault, tell them that truth. It says in Ezekiel chapter 3 that you will have won your brother and saved your brother if he changes. But he cannot change unless he hears the truth. And nowadays in churches, people don't tell the truth or tell people exactly where they are scripturally. I'm not talking about you, what your opinion is. You need to go find scripture and show them this is what you're doing is wrong. Not because I say it's wrong, because the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ says it's wrong. If you cannot do that, then they're going to end up in one or two places. They're either going to find their way and get in relationship with Christ and become a part of the resurrection of life, or they're going to find their way and keep playing these games and speaking all this religious fodder and all the rest of this stuff that's going on and getting caught in that and think they're going, and they're not. And they deceive them on their own selves. See? And they will end up in the resurrection of damnation. So let's get some scripture to back all that up, because I know I just said a lot. So listen. It says in 28, we are in St. John 5, 28, and I'm going to read 28 and 29 so that we can have the crux of where we're going. Then I'm going to back it up so that you can see how we got to this point. And this is Jesus speaking himself. And trust me, this is absolute, pure, unadulterated truth. Whether you agree with it or not, it has nothing to do with the truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He is the truth. He is the word of God. And in 17 of John 17, 17, it says, thy word is truth. This is the only truth that is upon the face of this earth. How you feel about it, how you think about it, the way you would do it, the way you would challenge it, that has absolutely nothing to do with it. You are not responsible for doing them other things, even if you do them. You are responsible for telling that person the truth. See? And since it is none of us that is our truth, you must bring him the word of God. So let me bring you the word of God. 28 says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Shall hear his voice. Everybody that is in graves, in the graves, shall hear his voice. And 29 says, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So, Jesus said it. That settles it. But everybody is going to come up out the grave. And everybody's going to hear them. They may come at different times. But everybody's going to come out the graves. Out of these graves. And they're going to stand for the great white throne judgment. Which this is what this is speaking about. And when they stand before God, he's going to show them a picture of all their lives. And if their lives stand there and there is no blood that is covering that life, then that means they did not have Jesus. They don't have on their garment. The garment that gets us into heaven is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrifice that he made on Calvary that was shed for us. And when God looks at your life and he looks at your sin and you take that before him, if he does not see the blood covering that, then you're going to hell. See, this is not for me to decide. This is not for you to decide. The scripture says that it is the blood that washes away all sin. See? And it's time for us to quit playing these games with people. Because people are going to hell in a handbasket and they're dying. And they're doing it in churches, in groups, in situations, in cathedrals and everything else. Thinking that they're going and they're not going. It's time to quit the games. It's time to quit the religious stuff. We love them as God loves all of them. God, it is God's will that no man perish. That's what the scripture says. God's will is that all men would be saved. But the fact of the matter is, people have the freedom of moral choice. They're going to choose to do wrong, and they're going to do it to the end. You have to understand that. And you have to get the understanding that this is real. This is not some game. So he says here, marvel not at this. I'm going to read it again. For the hour is coming. So the hour is on the way. In which all that are in the graves. All that are in the graves. All that are in the graves. Will hear his voice. Now, it does not say all is going to hear him at the right time. Because we do know that he is going to raise up those that are held captive. And get those who are in the graves that belong to God. He's going to raise them up first. Because the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. So we're not talking about the timing. But the fact of the matter is, after the dead in Christ raises, then guess what God is going to do? He's going to go get the other ones. And it says, and shall come forth, and they have, all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And 29, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So, have we all done wrong? Have we all sinned? Yes, we have. What is the difference between the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. So when God looks at the past of your life, because he has thrown your sins when you ask forgiveness into the sea of forgiveness, the Bible says never, never to remember them anymore. So when you go before God and you ask forgiveness for your sin, he throws them there and he will not pick that thing up. That's why when you feel guilty about something you did and you keep feeling guilty about something you did and you keep feeling guilty about something you did and you've taken it to God and you keep still feeling guilty about it, that is the devil. That is not God, because God has thrown that thing in the sea of forgiveness. He don't even remember that thing. And when he looks at you and he sees that part of your life, the blood covers that, so that all he sees is the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross for you. He don't even see that sin. He will never remember it again. That's scripture. Ain't God good? Ain't he good? all the stuff you did can be covered if you just step into the blood. But that blood costs something. The Bible says count the cost. It costs something. It costs the life of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who never did anything wrong, didn't even mumble and complain, because he knew he had to go to the cross so that you and I would have access to the holies of holies, to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, to heaven itself. He did that, and we have got to get out of this funk that we're in, thinking we all that and we all suchy much and everything else. We got to get out of that. This is not about trying to measure each other. This is about none of that. This is not trying to show how holy I am and how holy you ain't, or how holy you are and how holy I ain't. This is not about that. And if you're playing that game, you're caught up in the religion, and that's evil. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That is 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And so those who practice witchcraft is evil. So that means you're not just sinning, you're practicing the sin. You're practicing to rebel against God. And if you're practicing to rebel against God, you hear what I'm saying? Then that's witchcraft. And whatever sin that is that's taking you down, you have a spell put on you. You need to break the spell, break the curse. The only thing that can break spells and break curses is the blood of Jesus Christ. So be washed in the blood of the Lamb. But it's a choice, because it's going to cost you something. When you come to Christ, it may cost you loved ones. It may cost you friends. It may cost you family. It may cost you whatever. It may cost you everything you got. Remember the man with the pearl that found the field of the pearl, and he found this one pearl that was worth everything in the world to him, and he sold everything he had. He got rid of everything and purchased that one pearl, that field, so that he could get that pearl. See, it is a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. You got to count the cost. You got to pick up your cross and follow him daily. That means he's got to be the first thought. See, he's got to be the one. This takes training. This takes learning. It doesn't happen by osmosis. So if you're not learning of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. I'm going to come back to this, because I got to go. No, I got to go up above that first, because I've done a lot of time. So he said, no marvel at this. What is he talking about? No marvel at this. Well, there's some scriptures that precedes that to tell you what he's talking about. To no marvel at. Let's start at 24 in that chapter. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth and believe on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." So he that believes on him. Do you believe fire burns? Yes, you do. That's why you won't stick your hand in fire. So if you believe the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for you, then you start making steps towards where he is. See, religious people talk about where they need to be and talk about where other people ain't, but they are not standing where he is. You got to get the picture. You got to get the picture of this. He goes on in 25 to say, oh, let me say this also. And they are, it says, he that heareth my word, and believe on him that sent me. So if you hear the word and believe on God that sent him, hath everlasting life. See? But shall not come into condemnation. So you will not come into the place of the resurrection of damnation. You will pass from that death to life. It says in 25, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear and they that hear shall live. So do you hear God's word? Very important. He said, my sheep hear my voice and obey. Do you hear God's word? Or do you hear the religious fodder that's in your mind? The conversation that's in your mind, where you have no scriptures to prove it. You can't even benefit from what you're talking about because your life is showing that up and down, up and down, up and down, down low, up low, left low, right low. You're doing all kinds of things that's crazy. Your life is the witness. If they came to get you and say you're going to jail because you're a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? See, this is what this is all about. Quit all that talking. Live the life. The fruits of righteousness shows evidence. Where's the evidence of why you believe what you say you believe? And when you can't see that on a person, they're not saved. They are not saved. There must be evidence. See? There must be evidence. We're going to say here, in 26, for as the Father hath have life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And he said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of dead. So he's going to make the division. When he looks at you and he sees no blood covering you, when he looks in your heart and see no word in you, you are ousted. Because the only thing that can save your soul is the engrafted word of God. That means you don't just have the word because you know it. You have the word written up on your heart. You understand it. You have studied it. You sat up under teachings to get it. This is where we fail. This is where we fail because we do all this other stuff that's crazy. And I've just been given an assignment. I'm going to Colossians chapter 2. That is right after Ephesians. I'm sorry. I didn't plan this. Chapter 2:4. Amen.
Amen.
The scripture says, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. So people talk about their salvation. They say good words and they say good things, but they're enticing words. And he said, beguile you, which means unless they fool you, deceive you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in who? Him. How? Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Listen, he says, rooted and established in him, or established in the faith, as you have been what? Taught. You can't get this unless you sit up under teaching. And if you're somewhere where there's no teaching, you're not getting what you need. If the Lord came back and required your soul tomorrow, and you have not been sitting up and teaching, you don't have the garment that you're going to put on. When Christ looks in your heart, when God looks in your heart and don't see the word of God, nor see the blood covering you, then there's going to be an issue. And you may not have a sufficient answer. You may not have what you need and get shut out. Not because God is like that, because you had the opportunity and chose not to do it. See, you can't get caught up. Number 8 of that same chapter says, beware. So here's the warning. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. So the traditions of men, the rudiments of this world, is not after Christ. And he tells you to beware. Unless men spoil you through philosophy and vain, useless deceit, which is after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. So you got to pay attention to what you're receiving. You got to pay attention to who's talking to you. It has nothing to do with how their life is, because God can make a jackass speak and give you truth.
Amen.
See, I'm talking to you now. What does that mean? So God definitely can use jackass. Has nothing about what you think they are. Has everything to do with how good God is. And what is God doing in your life? What is God saying to your life? What is God directing out of your life? How is God using his word to change and transmogrify and maneuver mess out of your life so that he can get to you? Because don't nobody know how to do it like God. Nothing changes you but the word of God. You can play all the religious stuff you want to. Nothing changes you but God. Now, I need to leave you with this. It is Hebrews 9, chapter 27. And I need you to pay attention to this, because a lot of people don't think that they're going to have to deal with resurrection of life, or the others who are lost, the resurrection of damnation. But somebody has lied to you. Somebody has definitely lied to you, and you need to come back to your senses. Somebody has lied to you. We are in 9:27. The scripture says, well, let me read up to 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So that's what Christ did on cross. And before that, scripture says that he should offer himself. So he was the sacrifice. He's the offering. It says, as it is, he did this because as it is appointed on the man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many and to put them in, put them that look for him, that look for him, that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So you need to be looking for God, but it is appointed on the man one time to die, and then comes the judgment. So you have an appointment date with death. And you don't know what day that is. God's the only one knows that day. So you keep playing if you want to, Bishop Flip Flat. You keep running around talking about everybody else, trying to call yourself something that you're not. You keep playing if you want to, and your soul one day may be required in hell. Because if you do not have the word, you need to shut up. If you have not been covered in the blood, you need to shut up. And your life is the testimony of it. May God add a blessing to this word. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you, we thank you, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And I worship you, Lord God, because this is the truth. It is a hard truth, but it is the truth. And people need to hear it. People need to understand it, and people need to hear it. Thank you for using me, my God. You are so glorious and mighty. And I pray that everyone would get the message. Not offended, but get the message up under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer.
Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending your son. I accept Jesus now as my personal Lord and Savior. I ask Jesus the Christ to come in my heart and live. I choose light. I choose life in Christ. I choose truth. I choose the narrow way. I believe Jesus died for my sin. And according to the scriptures, that you raised him from the dead for my benefit. Heavenly Father, thank you for accepting me as your child. In Jesus' name, amen.
One, make you kill off each other with a knife or a gun, you having fun. But in the end, you'll be judged by the Lord, cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of good. Now reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together and the Lord I seek it. Trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. No, I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking off some truth into your souls I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs, look, he ain't a stranger. And get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger.
Prepare, we live in the last days.
People, get ready, cause he's coming.